The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 464 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts here on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT. Another great way to interact with the show. Always appreciate your feedback there at TheSportsRPT. If you listen on iTunes, you have a second. We love to see those five-star reviews there. What an awesome Sunday in the world of sports. The Masters decided on hole number 73. We saw a first-time major champ put on the coveted green jacket. Russell Westbrook went off again. This time the Nuggets were the victim, and the MVP discussion is heating up. Plus, a bunch of walk-off wins in Major League Baseball. Some surprises through 1 week in the big leagues. Lots to talk about coming up here on the Sports Report podcast. Thanks a lot for tuning in. 30 to 40 minutes, fast-paced, high-energy sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. We have to start with the Masters. You know, the big story going into this was Dustin Johnson, the number one ranked player in the world. And unfortunately, he withdrew due to a freak back injury that happened Wednesday at his rental home. So no Tiger Woods, no Dustin Johnson. Johnson was going to move his car and he only had socks on, apparently. Fell down some hardwood stairs, hurt himself. Disappointing news. He tried to give it a go, but just could not. He had been playing so well. And when you get to the majors, you want to see the best players out there. So no Dustin Johnson. And then how about Charlie Hoffman? Now, if you tripped over Charlie Hoffman outside your front door, would you know who this guy was? But he shoots an opening round 7 under 65. He made 7 birdies over his last 11 holes. 2 years ago, he was in contention when Jordan Spieth won at Augusta. William McGirt was 4 shots back. That was the biggest lead, 4 shots, after the first round at the Masters since 1955. Hoffman putting on his show. Lee Westwood was 5 back at 2 under. Nobody else shot better than 1 under. It was a very, very windy day at Augusta National. There were gusts near 40 miles per hour. So conditions not great. Did not seem to bother Hoffman. Jordan Spieth posted a 3 over 75, including a quadruple bogey on the 15th. Phil Mickelson, Sergio Garcia, Justin Rose, they finished their opening rounds at 1 under. So day one was about Dustin Johnson and Charlie Hoffman, who got out to the big lead. Round two was about Ricky Fowler. Very, very colorful player. The young players like him a lot. A 28-year-old looking for his first major title, posted a 5 under 67 on Friday. And all of a sudden, there was a logjam atop the leaderboard. Fowler, Hoffman, Sergio and Thomas Peters, who had a round of 68, they were all tied for the lead. They were all 4 under through 2 rounds. So it's anybody's game here. Hoffman shot a 75, and just like that, his 4-shot cushion was gone. He had 5 bogeys in a span of 6 holes. McGirt shot a 73 to go to 2 under. 57-year-old Freddie Couples made some noise Friday with a 70, always a fan favorite, and he's played well here over the last 5 to 7 years. He was second going into the weekend in 2013. He was the leader at the midway point in 2012. He was 1 under and only 3 back with 2 rounds to go. As for Sergio, this was his 71st major as a pro, and he was still searching for his first victory, and he never really had been a serious contender at the Masters. There was an intriguing group at even par after the second round. You had Phil, you had Spieth, and you had Adam Scott, the 2013 Masters champ. They were all four shots back. Spieth finished strong, and he's always a threat at Augusta. Phil struggled with his putter on Friday, bogeyed three of the final five holes. Let's go to Saturday. This day belonged to Justin Rose. He made a big move on the back nine, five birdies on the back nine. Rose shot a third round best 67, and he jumps into a tie atop the leaderboard with Sergio at minus six. Garcia posted a 70 on Saturday. Fowler had a 71. He was only one back. And then there was a trio, including Spieth at four under, just two back. Jordan was joined by Hoffman and Ryan Moore, who shot his second straight 69. Spieth was 10 shots behind after the opening round. Now, he's right where he needed to be after a round of 68. The 23-year-old finished second, first, second in his first three Masters. So you better believe that everybody was watching him. Hoffman was at 7 under after a birdie on number 13, and then things fell apart for the 40-year-old journeyman. He bogeyed 14. He found the water on 16. That led to a double bogey. Phil had a rough day as well, a 74. He was plus two. Couples also shot a 74, so he was plus one. To recap, going into Sunday, Sergio and Justin Rose were six under. Rose won the U.S. Open title in 2013, and last year at the Rio Olympic Games, he won the gold medal. Fowler was one back, Spieth, Hoffman, and Moore two back, Adam Scott three back. He had consecutive rounds of 69 after opening up with a 75. So it was a really competitive leaderboard with some big names in the hunt. We will get to Sunday, but first, got to tell you about our great sponsor. They've been with the show for a long time, and that is iHome. iHome has introduced its Zenergy line of products. They feature sound and light therapy technology to help you fall asleep and wake up energized and ready to go. And that's something that is important to all of us. I know a lot of people that really struggle to sleep. These new iHome products have soothing sounds from nature and white noise designed to help your mind and your body relax. They also include specially designed light therapy programs to promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce is known as the sleep doctor, and he recommends these new iHome products. He is the most trusted authority on sleep in the entire nation. So go to the website, iHomeAudio.com, take a look at the Zenergy line of products like the bedside sleep therapy machine and the portable sleep therapy speaker. Of course, iHome is still the number one brand in digital speakers, and you'll find clock radios, portable wireless speakers, headphones, earbuds, much, much more, all at the website, iHomeAudio.com. This is episode number 464 of the Sports Report podcast. I'm Paul Roberts. Thanks for tuning in. So, late in the day Sunday, it's a two-horse race. Sergio, Justin Rose. I think everybody, and I mean everybody, expected Jordan Spieth to make a run, but it wasn't his day. Bogeyed two of the first three holes, bogey number six, found the water again on number 12, and Jordan shot a 75 to end up minus one. Very, very surprising considering his track record at Augusta. Fowler bogeyed four and five, to quickly fall four shots behind Sergio. He also had back-to-back bogeys on 11 and 12, and then finished his final round with three consecutive bogeys. Rough day for the man in orange. He posted a 76 and winds up minus one as well. Moore had a double on the third and a bogey on the fourth, and that was that. He was not in contention, shot a 74 to go 2-under, tied with Adam Scott, who shot a 73 Sunday. They tied for ninth, one behind Rory McIlroy, who went out with a 69, his best round of the tournament. Charlie Hoffman bogeyed 5, doubled number 7. He imploded with a round of 78, finished plus 2, tied with Phil, Jason Day, and William McGirt, who just wasn't the same player after day 1. Freddie Couples was plus 1, not too shabby for the wily veteran. Matt Kuchar was fantastic on the back 9 Sunday. He had 3 birdies, and then how about a hole in 1 on the 16th? That ace got him to minus 5. I mean, nobody was really talking about Kuchar, and then all of a sudden, hole in 1, and high fives all around. Chance of Kuch. He gave the ball to a little kid, and that kid was smiling from ear to ear. He'll remember that the rest of his life. It was an awesome moment there on the 16th. Kuchar shot a 67. He was minus 5 for the tournament. Good for a tie for 4th with Thomas Peters, who also made a move in the back 9. This was his first appearance at the Masters. He's only 25. Tall player. He's 6'5 from Belgium. Definitely has some potential. He birdied 4 straight holes from 12 through 15. And next thing you know, Peters is minus 6. And he was tied with Sergio for 2nd at that point. But he pulled a par putt on 16. And then he went par-par on the last 2 holes. Good run, though, for Peters. Charles Schwartzel had 6 birdies on Sunday. 4 of them on the back 9, including the 18th. When he sank a long putt, got a real loud ovation for that. And that put him at 6 under. He went 68-68 on the weekend for 3rd place. That brings us to Sergio and Justin. And let's be real. All of us went into Sunday. I mean, raise our hands, right? All of us went into Sunday saying what? We were saying Sergio isn't going to win. He always chokes at the majors. He'll fall apart at some point. He'll have a bazillion excuses. Well, he got off to a great start. He birdied number 1. He birdied number 3. His putt on 7 lipped in. That was a sweet save for him out of the bunker. Then he seemed to feel some pressure from Justin. Sergio missed a makeable putt on the 9th, bogeyed the 10th, which was his first bogey in a span of 19 holes. And it was on number 10 that he lost the lead. Justin birdied 6, 7, and 8. Now he's minus 8. And it looked like Uncle Mo, Mr. Momentum, was in Rose's corner. Sergio's tee shot on the 11th goes behind a tree. He bogeys that par 4 as well. And it looks like he's in big trouble. But, and this is a fat Albert size but, Rose did not take full advantage. And this was a critical stretch on Sunday. Justin missed birdie putts on 11, 13, and either one, and I'm not talking about, you know, 40, 50 footers here. Either one of those makeable putts put him 3 shots clear of Sergio. And now, I mean, you'd have to think at that point, Sergio starts to doubt himself. Here we go again. I can't win a major. This always happens to me. Somebody gets hot, blah, 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 blah. But Justin did not make those shots. The par 5 13th was a gigantic hole. Justin's birdie putt from only 7 feet was left all the way. Meanwhile, Sergio takes a penalty stroke. He ends up in a hazard, pulls off a tremendous par save to stay at 6 under. That could have been a 2-shot swing on number 13. He easily could have been down 4 shots after that. Garcia kept the positive energy flowing. He birdied number 14, had a fist pump there, and now he's within one of Justin. So you can't say enough about how big the save was on number 13 when he had the penalty stroke and he was in the hazard there. To 15, Sergio said he hit one of the best 8 irons of his entire life. The approach shot hit the flag, and his eagle putt just trickled in for a 3. Now he's minus 9, and they are tied with 3 holes to play. I mean, what drama on Sunday. What pressure. Both Sergio and Justin missed a bunch of very makeable putts on the back 9. You start thinking about the green jacket, the nerves really kick in, and you could tell by looking on the putting down the stretch. On 16, Sergio missed a short birdie putt that put him 1 back. On 17, he left his birdie putt 2 or 3 feet short. I mean, he never gave it a chance. Pressure had to be a factor there. The putt was not even close. But Justin barely missed his par putt on 17. So now they're even again at 9 under. Another missed opportunity by Rose. A bad time for a bogey. It was his first bogey since back on number 5. He could not make putts. 11, 13, 17, and then 18. Where we go now. Justin got an amazing kick to the left on his second shot. Sometimes it pays to be lucky as opposed to good. And that kick toward the hole got him right where he needed to be. But Sergio, to his credit, answered with what Jim Nantz called the shot of a lifetime. His second shot left him just 5 feet away. Unbelievable. And Rose even gave him a thumbs up. There was great sportsmanship shown between these two friends. They've known each other for a long, long time. Played on the Ryder Cup teams together. So you saw some high fives there. Just a great mutual respect between these two. Rose's birdie putt looked good. I mean, it looked like a good stroke, but he missed it to the right. It was oh so close. So Sergio has a 5-footer for his first major championship. That's what it came down to. One putt for all the marbles. One putt for the green jacket. However, he missed it to the right. A total misread by Sergio, who put it outside the hole and it never came back. It stayed straight. Wow. I was almost speechless at that point. And I'm thinking, I'm sure many of you were thinking the same thing, that he blew it. Here's another chance for Sergio to get the big monkey off his back, finally win a major, and he blew it. He had a 5-footer there, and really, it wasn't close. So, they go back to 18 for the first playoff hole. Keep in mind, Sergio has now missed short putts at 16, 17, and 18. Nobody's talking about that now because we know the outcome. But usually, you miss makeable putts, and some of these are short putts, on 16, 17, 18, usually in a major or at the Masters, you lose. So I'm wondering, where is this guy mentally at that stage? But it was Rose who flinched first in the sudden death playoff. His tee shot went way to the right, sailed into the trees. He had to waste his second shot merely to get out of the pine straw. And now Garcia is in the driver's seat. His drive, his second shot were executed very, very well. Rose needed to make a 15-footer to have any chance. I mean, any chance. And this time it was to the left. Before it was to the right. This time to the left. No dice. So now all the pressure's off Sergio. He can 2-putt from 12 feet for the title. The 37-year-old from Spain, he went out in style. I tip my cap. He only needed 1 putt. It rolled around the cup and it fell in for a birdie. Sergio's major drought was finally over. It took 74 starts, 71 of them as a pro, and he got it done. Now, early in his career, he was not well liked in the United States. I think he was viewed as a brat, as a whiner, as a crybaby, a guy who had a lot of excuses out there, and he was dealing with Tiger Woods. But the crowd at Augusta on Sunday was truly in his corner. The fans, and no, I don't call them patrons. I mean, if I hear patrons one more time, I'm going to break out my rusty nail and stick it directly in my eyeball. They're fans. Enough with the patrons. The fans were pulling for Sergio to win. It wasn't pretty. Missed a bunch of putts late, including on the 72nd hole with victory within reach. In the end, though, he got to put on the green jacket in Butler Cabin. He was the only player to break par all 4 days. Both he and Justin shot 69 on Sunday. They were minus 9 through regulation. Not since 1998, almost 20 years ago, had the last two players on the course gone to the 18th tied for the lead. And I'm not a big golf fan. You know, I'm more football, baseball, basketball. I like the NHL playoffs, which are coming up. That's always exciting. But this was must-see TV. I was on the edge of my seat. And now we don't have to wonder anymore if Sergio is ever going to win a major. And he did it on what would have been the 60th birthday of his countryman, Seve Ballesteros. And that just added to an emotional day for Sergio Garcia. So the monkey is off his back. Who's going to be next to get that first major? Could it be Kuchar? Could it be Fowler? Let me know what you're thinking on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. And I don't know if anybody's asking this question, but did Sergio win it or did Rose lose it? You know, I mean, Rose had a lot of chances. That, and like I said, 11 and 13, he could have extended that lead to 3 and missed putts. And these were not long putts. But you hate to take anything away from Sergio, but both guys down the stretch, I mean, they had a case of the yips there. I mean, they're missing putt after putt after putt. Sometimes guys just go out and take it, just seize the day. That really was not the case on Sunday. Let me know what you're thinking on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Episode number 464 of the Sports Report podcast. Paul Roberts with you. Mondays on the Grizz. That is grizzlyproductions.tv and in the podcast section of iTunes. How about the weather? Finally. I mean, today I'm in southeast Pennsylvania, about an hour from Philadelphia, and it's close to 80. Tomorrow, getting up over 80 degrees. I love it. 4 years at Syracuse University, saw plenty of snow. Don't need to see any more of that. Let's go to the NBA here, talk some hoops. Russell Westbrook has just been tearing it up all season long. Well, he broke the Big O's record, Oscar Robertson. He broke his record for triple-doubles in a season. And the way he did it was just jaw-dropping. He put 50 on the board on Sunday. His 42nd triple-double, 50 points, 16 rebounds, 10 assists. I mean, these are Nintendo numbers. Like when I used to play Double Dribble and you could always make the three-pointer in the corner and the top of the screen. If you were going that way, if you're going right to left, you could always make that three in the corner in Double Dribble. You young kids, just Google it out there. That's back when the joystick only had A, B, select, and start. That was it. And not only did he have 50, he hits a 35-foot shot at the buzzer that won the game. 106-105, the Thunder beat the Denver Nuggets, and that loss eliminated Denver from playoff contention. Denver, gone. Thanks for coming. Drive home safely. How do you let Westbrook even get the ball there? Somebody else has to make a shot, not him. And as if that wasn't enough, he scored his team's last 15 points in this game. A 15-0 Westbrook run. Robertson had 41 triple-doubles in the 61-62 season. He averaged 31 points that year, 12 rebounds, 11 assists. And that made him the only player in NBA history to average a triple-double until now, when Westbrook was able to do it. Westbrook, at halftime, 23 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. You know how many players would kill for that line for a game? That's what he did in two quarters. He had two streaks this season of 7 consecutive triple-doubles. 7 in a row. He did it twice. Only Wilt Chamberlain had a longer streak of triple-doubles, and that was 9. Westbrook is 4th all-time in career triple-doubles, 79. Only Robertson, Magic, and Jason Kidd have more. Pretty good company right there. Kidd and Magic, two of the best point guards to play the game. Thunder coach Billy Donovan leads us into the MVP discussion. Donovan said, quote, "I really, really believe that he's the MVP because of what he's done between the lines, because of what he's done from a leadership role. A lot of the roster changed. There are a lot of young guys. His leadership, his play on the floor has basically, I think, spoken loud and clear." Do you agree with head coach Billy Donovan? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Let's compare the candidates here. These are my final four. All right, you have Westbrook, Harden, Kawhi Leonard, and LeBron. Westbrook, 32 points, leads the league, 11 boards, 10 assists, and he's shooting 43% from the field. I throw that in there because I'm big on efficiency. Harden, 29 points, 8 rebounds, 11 assists. He leads the league in assists and shooting 44%, almost the same as Westbrook. And he said on Sunday, quote, "I thought winning is what this is about, period. As for Westbrook's triple-double record, he said it's a huge accomplishment. It's a great individual accomplishment," end quote. Now, they're friends, but notice how he threw individual accomplishment in there. You look at the records. Harden's team, 54 wins. Westbrook's team, 46. So Harden's plus 8 in the win category. Kawhi Leonard, who is also a great defensive player, you know, that doesn't show up in these numbers. 26 points, 6 rebounds, only 3 assists. He's not close to the others in that. Shooting 48% from the field, and the Spurs have 61 wins. So he's got the most wins here. LeBron is having a phenomenal year. You know, any year this could win you an MVP, but this season I don't think it's going to. His team has 51 wins, 26 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, and what I love, he's shooting 55% from the field. That's efficiency. That's high percentage looks. A lot of guys can score 30, but if it takes you 30 shots, 35 shots, not what you want. So LeBron, I mean, he's close to averaging a triple-double too. One more assist and a couple more rebounds, he's averaging a triple-double. If you're wondering, there have never been co-MVPs in the NBA, and this award goes back to 1956. Never been co-MVPs. I wonder about that. I don't think they're going to do it. But Westbrook and Harden, it's close. And you know from listening to this show or my radio show, I'm never ever one to hold back when it comes to giving strong opinions. But this one has torn me up a little bit. I mean, I don't think this is easy. And now with what Westbrook did on Sunday, of course, everybody's talking about him. But big picture, whole season, you know, Westbrook has the triple-double record, but Harden's numbers are right there. I mean, Westbrook averages 3 more points, 3 more rebounds. Harden averages 1 more assist. and their field goal percentages are almost identical. So it's really, really close. And Harden's team has 8 more wins than Westbrook's. So it's a tough call for me. I'm having a hard time with this one. Let me know what you're thinking on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT on Twitter. I know a lot of you out there hate co-MVPs. Nobody wants to share anymore, but it is close. I mean, I don't know that I would be that upset if you would have co-MVPs. I don't think it's going to happen, but I mean, these two, it's tough to separate them. It really is. Finally, let's get to some baseball here on episode 464. It was a walk-off Sunday in the show. The Wild was out in L.A. Seattle's up 9-3 going to the bottom of the ninth. I mean, you have to win that game, right? You're up 6 runs. You need 3 outs. The Angels scored 7 times in the bottom of the ninth inning and won the game 10-9. Cliff Pennington had the game-winning hit in the gap in right center. That was after Albert Pujols tied it with a 2-run single. Earlier in the game, Pujols launched home run number 592. So he is closing in on 600. Definitely one of the best hitters, not just of his era, but I would say of all time. I mean, it's so tough to get at. Not only does he have monster power, I mean, he's going to get 600 homers, but can hit for average. I mean, you know, good hitter. In Houston, Evan Gattis drew a bases-loaded walk in the 12th inning. Astros beat the Royals 5-4. In Pittsburgh, Starlin Marte was the hero, a 2-run homer in the 10th. Pirates over the Braves, 6-5. And in Philly, Cesar Hernandez in a bloop single to left in the bottom of the ninth. Phillies beat the Nationals 4-3. Washington lost 2 out of 3 in that series. This was a crazy game, too. It's 3-0 in the ninth, and Ryan Zimmerman crushes a 3-run homer, pinch-hit 3-run homer to tie it at 3, but then the Nats give a run back in the bottom of the ninth, so the Phillies win it 4-3. Some early surprises, and I want to stress it is very, very, very early. Baseball is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You don't win pennants in April and May, all right? But look at some teams here to keep an eye on. Arizona and Colorado on top in the NL West. Arizona 6-1. You know, they had so many injuries last year. Colorado 5-2. That team is going to hit. You look at that lineup, it's scary. I would not want to pitch against the Rockies, especially in their ballpark. The question, as it always is with Colorado, can they get enough pitching? And they never, ever can get enough starting pitching. But they're 5-2 right now. AL West, Texas and Seattle both struggling. Seattle is 1-6. And that was a team, that was like a sleeper team for a lot of people. Texas is 2-4. How about the first place Minnesota Twins? That's right. Division leading Minnesota Twins. They are 5-1. I bet you didn't think you'd hear those words this season. And the Blue Jays, just 1-5. They are in last place. They're in the cellar in the American League East. So some surprises early on to keep an eye on. If you missed it, MLB Network did a really nice special on Mike Trout, the pride of Millville, New Jersey, which is about an hour from Philadelphia. Small, small town. And of course, you know, he's like Paul Bunyan there. I mean, he's the big man on campus. They show you around his town, talk about his high school playing days, how he was scouted, the draft when he slipped there. Some great access to Mike Trout, who seems like a terrific guy. Very, very humble. Still gives back to his high school. Hooks him up with a lot of stuff. Just seems like a cool guy. So if you missed it, it is worth seeing. I'm sure they're going to re-air it on MLB Network, the special about Mike Trout. If you saw it, you liked it, let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. And of the teams I mentioned, Arizona, Colorado, Twins, you think any of those three keep it going? And who do you think is going to keep struggling out of Texas, Seattle, and the Blue Jays? Let me know again on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Enjoy this weather, my friends. Get outside and have some fun. 80 degrees again here in Pennsylvania. I'm loving life. Baseball is back. No more winter jacket. No more snow boots. No more shovel. But now we got to mow the lawn. Never ends, right? Have a great week. Thanks for tuning in. Keep the 5-star reviews coming if you listen on iTunes. Keep the tweets coming at TheSportsRPT. This has been episode number 464. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv.